Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football, another special part of the 10-part series that's offering a position-by-position look at the Steelers as we continue to count down the days until training camp opens at St. Vincent College. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Prasuta of the DVE Morning Show. In today's installment, Mikey, let's take a look at the offensive line. And, you know, a year ago, we could have been sitting in this very room, speaking into these very mics, talking about this very same part of the Steelers team and saying, boy, we hope that David DeCastro is going to be the starter at guard and Mike Adams and Marcus Gilbert will be the starting tackles and they can team with Marquise Pouncey at center. And we can really have a young, athletic, an up-and-coming offensive line. Well, took us a year, but that's what we're going to have. And I'm here to tell you, the Steelers are operating without a net. There is nobody behind those guys to fall back on. It's going to have to be David DeCastro, right guard, and Marcus Gilbert and Mike Adams at tackle.
Yeah, the only potential position battle I see here on the offensive line, Lab, is at left guard. Ramon Foster, who I'm told by people here had the second-best season of any offensive lineman last year, but they also have Kelvin Beachum, who I'm also told has a shot at that job. Foster has said he has been told he's penciled in. You know what they
– right.
Pencils can be erased. But Ramon Foster's a guy that, boy, they keep trying to get rid of him seemingly or get him out of the starting lineup, and he keeps ending up playing a lot of games and playing well at a lot of different positions. But how about Kelvin Beachum? You know, a year ago we were waiting on David DeCastro and Mike Adams with great anticipation. Kelvin Beachum a part of that draft as well, and there was no trumpets blaring or no flags being unfurled upon his arrival. But he wound up playing significant snaps for the Steelers and playing well enough to be in the mix, not just as a potential starter at left guard, but they also spent a lot of time in the OTA seeing how much he could do at the other positions.
You know, Beachum, to me, you know, and you're old enough to understand this comparison I'm about to make too, and then I will explain it. Beachum's like Justin Strelzik. He might be a guy, especially at this phase of his career, where he is too valuable as a backup at five positions to start him. If you have a capable starter, you know, as if, you know, and we'll see if the pencil with that is written Ramon Foster's name is eventually turned to ink. Let's just assume that it is, or it's, let's say it's even. Maybe Beachum becomes too valuable as a guy who's playing all the other positions, and you want him in that preparation during the week mode of preparing for a bunch of different positions to start him. And, you know, again, that's a very valuable role. And if you have a guy who can do that, he's a very valuable guy.
Or you could almost make that same argument for Ramon Foster other than center, because he's lined up at a lot of different spots, and he's the veteran guy of the two. So maybe he's better suited.
You wouldn't put Ramon Foster left tackle. I mean, that to me would be a – I would feel more comfortable.
No chance?
Well, no. I'm just saying, this is me. I'm coaching. I got the headsets on. See him? I'm putting Beachum at left tackle. I'm not real. I mean, I'm telling Ben, hey, Ben, you're
planning
on your
a
own.
Parade with that, are we?
Hey, almost had one with Jonathan Scott out there, so I'm not ruling anything out. But, you know, I would tell Ben, you know, be on your toes. But I still think Beachum would give you a little more at left tackle than Ramon Foster would. But, hey, we'll see. I really.
But Foster might be better prepared to go into a game cold, so to speak, and
yeah, but it's
preparing to play a bunch of spots as a more experienced guy as opposed to being a younger guy. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I'm not being
right
sarcastic or anything. It's going to be fun to watch the offensive line A, come together, and B, as you mentioned, right now there's nothing in reserve. They're like the guy
Nick
walking
Willenda
across the Grand Canyon. Got to find some safety nets before
right.
September.
And the bottom line is they got six. They got six guys. After that, you know, it's – I think that what we may end up seeing is the guys who are backups on the depth chart for the opening day game against the Tennessee Titans. Will not be coming to the club until after the final cut on August 31st.
It's possible though, there's some candidates. They did pick up a tackle with some experience. Guy Wimper and John Malecki has played a little football for the Steelers. And I see you're not jumping out of your chair.
Guy Wimper equals Jonathan Scott to me. If that's all you have, that's all you have. John Malecki, you know, I think that he was kind of a, you know, you call yourself a victim of circumstance. He was a beneficiary of circumstance last year. Again, you may end up with him, but I think you would like to do better. And the one guy I heard who has a little bit of maybe could come into something is Golic Jr. A little bit of a pedigree knows what it takes as much as any rookie can simply because of where he grew up. You know, he lived it. And sometimes, you know, if you choose to go into the field that your father was in, you have a pretty good idea of what he went through at various times. Just understand. But again, I don't even know if I'm using pencil for any of those guys. I mean, if we're using pencil for Ramon Foster, I'm not even using pencil for those guys. So that's what's going to make camp interesting.
Yeah, and those guys have to stay healthy. And they didn't stay healthy last year. And, boy, the trickle-down effect as a result was profound. We never saw you can call it the Todd Haley offense or the Pittsburgh Steelers offense as conducted by Todd Haley or orchestrated by Todd Haley. We never saw that other than glimpses here and there. It never developed. The whole idea going into last year was run the ball more efficiently, slow down the rush that way, set up the play action, fewer turnovers, more ball control, more trips into the red zone, more points, more wins, all that stuff. Didn't happen. It's not a bad plan. It just didn't get a chance to try to execute it consistently enough. So.
And as you pointed out last year, at the end of last year, when you did that research thing that I'm totally opposed to, that when the Steelers' offense was at its best, those three games where you had 100-yard rushers were also three of the games where you actually were able to start the same five offensive linemen more than once in a row, which, you know, I looked it up. It is not against the rules. You are allowed to start the same five guys week after week after week.
And interestingly enough, these guys we're talking about are purported to be mobile guys, athletic guys. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, you have a new offensive line coach that wants to do more zone blocking than you've done in the past.
And you drafted a guy who's pretty good at running that stretch play.
A one-cut, stick it up in there kind of guy who did a lot of that in college. These would be the guys you'd want to have to run such a scheme.
Because I looked that up, too. That's not against the rules either.
And that's what Mike Adams on the right side is key to that, because he can move.
Okay, that'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.